And then grab your Bibles, please. Turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, and we'll read our scripture. We'll have a special, and then I'm going to come back and introduce my son. John chapter 11, verses 37 through 43. John chapter 11, verses 37 through 43. We'll read this passage responsively. I'll read verse 37. You join me on verse 38 throughout the passage that way. John 11, 37 through 43. And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And let's finish on verse 43 together. Ready? "And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" And let's pray. Father, thank you for what you've done. We need the truth of today. We need this truth badly in our own lives. Lord, there's a lot of people with a lot of knowledge, but they're not doing anything with it. So a truth that is preached that appeals to our mind is wonderful, but may it be a tool in our hand that we could go out and use this week. Please burn it deeply into our hearts, our minds, and our lives to become part of our daily use. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It's my pleasure and my honor to introduce a man of God named Josh Bush. He's my son. But he's a man of God. He walks with God. About a year ago, we were nearing the completion of this building. And if you've never fought Jefferson County government, you don't understand. But we've been through battle after battle, 3 years to get the building up and all the battles to get through it, building the church, getting people, keeping people. This is the fifth building we've been in 7 years. Just an amazing story of what God is doing, and the growth was, at that time, getting to become enormous. And the old man needed a little help. And we prayed, and I prayed, and then God told me who he wanted me to have, and I said, it isn't going to work. And I put it off for a while, and matter of fact, my son was working in a church in Miami, Florida, and I called the pastor. I said, "This is kind of crazy." I said, "I love you. You're my friend. I want you to stay my friend after I ask my question." And I asked him, and he said, "Brother Bush, not yet." I said, "Okay. I'd never force anything." He said, "Now, you can talk to him, but it's not what I want right now." And I said, "That's fine." So I waited a few more months, and I couldn't get away from it. I called his pastor back, and I said, "Doc," I said, "I love you." And he said, "You're asking for permission again, aren't you?" I said, "I am." And he said, "Brother Bush, if you're that strongly in need of it and you believe it," he said, "why don't you talk to him?" I never ever planned on hiring my son. I'll be honest with you. I'm not trying to build an empire. But we needed a man of God who thought like we think, who's headed the direction we're headed in, and it has the ability to take a load and carry it and build it on his own. I don't need to be babysitting. We need people that can pick things up and grow it. And I happen to know how he was trained and how he thinks, and that he understood how I thought, which is not always easy. No comments, Mrs. Barnes. But may I say this, This is the man Grace Baptist Church needed. You have just begun to see what he can do, just so you know. He's been brought up in a preacher's home his whole life. That's all he knows. My wife and I got married almost 31 years ago, and he's been in the ministry his whole life. You talk about going to church for 9 months before you were hatched. He went to church clear until the service before he was hatched, and then was in the next service, literally. But God, through his whole life, the devil's attacked this young man. When he was 4 months old, he contracted RSV, pneumonia, and had asthma at the same time. Was on a ventilator for 3 weeks. I remember getting the call at midnight. He stopped breathing. We need to get you here. I had a police escort in Long Beach, California, driving down the 710 freeway as fast as we could. I remember for 3 weeks, he lay there with a machine breathing for him, and my wife and I, we had led several doctors and nurses to Christ. And I said, God, if you'll heal him, I promised you before, but I'll promise you again, I'll raise him for you. Whether you want him to preach, that's your business, not mine. Well, lo and behold, God called him to preach. And the devil didn't back off. He had some dark days for a while, but the grace of God is wonderful. And may I say this, I almost feel sorry for the devil right now. He's now fighting against the devil as hard as he did fight for him for a while there. As his dad, I'm very proud of him. As his pastor, I couldn't be more pleased. As his boss, he doesn't even know how much he has lifted off of my shoulders. He'll never know this side of heaven. He and his dear wife, Ruth Ann, are an unbelievable important part of our church. Amen. Now, if you ever play her in table games, she's ruthless, all right? Vicious. She attacks me, but I love her anyway most of the time. But may I say this, I trust him. Let me give you a little resume. He went to Bible college. While he was in Bible college, he pastored a church for a while. After he got married the last year, about the last year you were in school, you pastored, would drive several hours to go pastor his church on the weekends, drive back, worked full-time job, just a little country church out in the mountains of Kentucky. Then, through a series of events, became an assistant pastor in Miami, was faithful. He had no idea it was coming. I remember when I called him, I said, son, I'm going to talk to you as not as your dad, but as pastor of my church. He said, okay. I told him what I wanted, and he said, you're kidding, right? I said, no, I'm not. And he said, you're really kidding, aren't you? I said, no, I'm not. And now we have him. Amen. And I know this. I know what God has for him. An incredible man of God. When you hear what he has to say today, you'll know why, without hesitation, I asked him to preach this morning. It is a truth that we need. It's a truth we need for this hour, this day, this church, this area, and this country. I believe it with all my heart. So you listen to him. Brother Josh, you come preach to us.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. Thank you, Grace Baptist Church. Many of you have supported my wife and I financially through several things in our lives throughout our ministry. We appreciate that. Don't take it for granted. My goal this morning, I'm aware of the time. Can I get just a little bit more volume, Brother Barnes? I don't plan on doing too much screaming or running. Make sure folks out in the car can hear me. My goal this morning is to keep your mind long enough to deliver a truth to your heart. It'll change your life. I truly believe that it's not a man that makes the difference. It's the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit through His Word that does that in our lives. And I just ask this morning that you give me the next 30, 35 minutes. And I promise I prayed about this and I've asked the Lord to do something in your hearts this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you now. Heavenly Father, there is no way in the world that one man could deliver a truth to the level that it's supposed to be delivered, Lord, and be able to make a difference in so many lives. Holy Spirit that dwells in each and every one of us, I need you to work this morning. Yielded myself, I've prayed, Lord, and I've asked. Lord, again, Lord, not out of duty, Lord, not out of habit, but Lord, out of necessity, I ask again, would you please use me this morning? Would you take the truth that you have for us and apply it to our lives? We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
In John chapter 11, if you'll look with me back at verse number 23, I'll meet you there in just a minute. You find the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. Jesus was preaching in a nearby city around Jerusalem, just outside of Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives. We find that Jesus has been ministering here when he receives a message. Mary and Martha send a message to Jesus and tell Jesus it was not just a person that they knew. Jesus had meals. Every time he went to Bethany, you find Jesus with Mary and Martha. They were a close-knit family in the truest sense of the word there. Jesus receives this message and he deems it necessary not to go right away. He delays. In fact, he waits a couple of days and he explains to his disciples that Lazarus is sick, but he's sick unto death. He's going to die. Disciples did not quite understand Jesus' reasoning, but Jesus did have a purpose. Martha comes and meets Jesus in John chapter verse number 20. We find that Martha runs to Jesus. She is just distraught. She is in despair that her brother has died, and she has no idea what's going on. I want you to look at verse number 3. Jesus reassures Martha. He says, Jesus saying to her, thy brother shall rise again. Don't you know he's going to come back to life? But look what Martha says. He said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Jesus, I know he's going to come back to life, but it's going to be a long time away. Not till the second coming is he going to come back to life. Why did Jesus allow Lazarus to die? He could have kept Lazarus from dying. You remember the centurion? He came to Jesus and Jesus did not even have to go to that house to heal the sick one. He simply by word of mouth spoke and said he'll be healed. In the selfsame hour, the Bible tells us he was healed. Jesus could have kept Lazarus from dying. How many life-saving miracles has Jesus performed up to this point? You see, Jesus did not just want them to see a miracle, though. He wanted them to be a part of the miracle and to believe who he was. You'll see here that in verse number 42, we read earlier that is the case. In his prayer, he states the reason he allows Lazarus to die. He praised his Father, I knew that thou hearest me always. Listen to this. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me.
Amen.
He wanted them to understand who he was and his ability not to just see another miracle as they had seen before. But you see, before Jesus ever began to pray, he asked them to step out by faith.
Yes.
Remember, he doesn't want them to just see a miracle. He asked them to be a part of it. What part does he ask them to take in it? If you'll look at verse number 38, we find that there was a stone in front of the tomb in which Lazarus lay. Jesus looks at those at the tomb and look what he says in verse number 39. Take ye away the stone. Now wait a minute, Lord. Look what Martha says. Martha says, he stinketh. He's been dead for 4 days. Why are we taking away the tomb? Why are we taking away the stone? Verse number 40. He reminds her of the conversation that he had had with her before he gets to the tomb. Verse number 40, he says, do you remember what I said unto you? You remember, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Martha, do you remember? You said you would believe. It's time to put that belief into action.
Yes.
In verse number 40, verse number 41, he states it again. Then they took away the stone. I truly believe that if they would not have rolled that stone away, Lazarus would still be lying in that grave dead, and we would not have seen the miracle of Lazarus coming forth.
Right.
The miracle had not begun until the stone was rolled away. Jesus did not need them to move that stone for one day. He would move His own stone. He could have moved it Himself. But He wanted those around Him to take part in this miracle. He wanted them to experience the joy of living by faith in times of doubt.
Yes.
I wonder how many times in our life that God wanted to bring about a great miracle in our midst. But because we were so focused on the difficulty of a situation, that we failed to roll the stone away.
That's right.
And God turned around and walked away from our lives, saying as He had said before, I did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Wonder how many works God has not done in the life of a Christian because they were not willing to step out by faith and roll the stone away. He did not ask Mary and Martha to climb a glass mountain. He did not ask them to slay a fire-breathing dragon. He did not ask them to blindly leap off a cliff and hope that they would be caught. He did not say, go raise your own brother from the dead. He said, take away the stone.
Yes.
How hard is it to just move a stone? This morning, I want to bring this message to you. Seeds that move stones. Seeds that move stones. You see, Christian, God simply asks for our faith that He has already given us to be placed back in Him.
Amen.
You don't even have your own faith. You've got the faith that He gave you.
Right.
And all He asks is for you to take the faith that He gave you and place it in Him.
Amen.
What kind of faith did Jesus expect from Mary and Martha? It is, in fact, the same faith that He expects from you and I. Look at Matthew chapter number 17. We will find what kind of faith that Jesus expects from you. He doesn't expect you to do the impossible. He asks you to live by faith.
Yeah.
In Matthew chapter 17, we don't have time to read the whole story, but we find that Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. While they are up on the Mount of Transfiguration, the other disciples are down in the valley working the work. A man comes to these disciples with a demon-possessed, a lunatic son. No comments there. And he brings them to Jesus. Jesus then is these disciples are asked to heal the son. Jesus comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration and He finds the disciples with this lunatic son who has not been healed. Those who were present, Jesus says, take them to My disciples. Oh, we already did that, but they couldn't do it. Look at verse number 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus. After the lunatic was healed, the disciples come to Jesus bewildered. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? We've seen you do it before. You gave us the power to cast out demons. You have given us the power to perform these miracles. How come we could not? Look at verse number 20. Jesus simply says, and I said unto them, because of your unbelief.
That's right.
You didn't have enough faith. What kind of faith does He want? For verily I say unto you, if ye have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place. He was a country preacher. I like it. And it shall remove and nothing shall be impossible unto you. We read this verse and we think that if we pray and we have enough faith, I can drive down the road and tell the mountain to get out of my way. God's not saying if you have faith, you can move mountains. God's saying if you have faith, you can watch me work in your life. He doesn't expect us to have faith to move the mountains. He expects us to have faith to obey. We find Jesus here telling the disciples, because of your unbelief, they could not cast out the demons. They could not perform this miracle as Christians. Just like the disciples had been given the power to perform the miracles, you and I as Christians have been given the power in this life to do the same exact work that Jesus did.
Yes.
In fact, we have been called to do that work.
That's right.
While He was here on earth, before He left, He says, now go and do thou likewise. then how come we find ourselves powerless to do the work? We've been given the Holy Spirit. We've been given the faith. How come we don't see God working in our midst? You have been given all this necessary faith. But the problem is, when you're faced with a difficult situation, you find yourself looking at your own ability or trusting your own reasoning, and you do not place your faith in Him.
Right.
How come when the bank account begins to get low, we call the bank and ask for a loan, and we don't call our Heavenly Father and say, I need help?
Yes.
How come when we're sick, and don't take this the wrong way, we need the doctors, but in the Old Testament, we find a story of Asa, who had a foot problem that he should have never died from this foot disease, but he dies because he seeks the doctor before he seeks God. I'm thankful for medicine. My wife has used these medicines and they have helped her. I've seen them work, and I'm thankful for the technology we have. But don't become so reliant on technology in the world that it transfers to your Christian life and you're relying on it to fix those problems
yes,
as well.
Sure.
You need to have faith in Jesus Christ. Yes. God is not asking you to move mountains. God is simply asking you to take that measure of faith, that little mustard seed of faith that He has given you, and place it in Him and allow Him to deliver the miracle. All He's asking is that you have just enough faith, Mary and Martha, to roll the stone away.
Yes, sir.
In the Christian life, there are three stones that we must roll away in order to see God work, and that will be the message, and we'll go home. Number one, we must have the mustard seed of faith to take away the stone of disheartenedness.
Man.
What does it mean to be disheartened? That word disheartened literally means to bind or to hold captive the spirit of courage. It literally means to suppress that courageous spirit. And in Deuteronomy 31, chapter 31, verse number 6, we find Jesus telling Joshua before he goes into the land of Canaan, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, it is He that goeth with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsaken thee. What was He saying? He says, don't be disheartened.
Yes.
Don't suppress that spirit of courage. The same God that parted the Red Sea is the same God that will deliver Ai from you, Joshua. The same God that provided manna in the wilderness is the same God that will fill the walls of Jericho.
Yes.
The same God that provided water from the rock is the same God that will provide the brazen serpent and
yes.
heal the sick.
Amen. Good.
And Christian, that same God that Joshua had, you and I have today.
Yes.
Do not be disheartened when circumstances come into your life. If you look at John chapter number 11 and verse number 21, we find that Martha had that spirit of disheartenedness. Look what she says in John chapter 11 in verse number 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. She was disheartened, and I don't blame her. We've all suffered loss in our life, and you know the feeling of loss. And she comes to Jesus distraught, disheartened, cannot believe. We find that also Mary has this spirit of
yes.
being disheartened. In verse number 32, when Jesus finally makes His way to the family, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hast been here, my brother had died. Mary didn't hear Martha say that. She was disheartened as well. She said, Lord, I don't know why You took Your time. How come You disappointed us? You've helped so many thousands of people that You didn't even know, and we are Your closest friends and family, and You've let us down. Why did You delay for us? They were disheartened. But that day, they walked away from the tomb victorious over death because they were willing to roll away the stone of disheartenedness. They were willing to roll the stone away from the mouth of the tomb and allow Jesus to perform the miracle.
Yes.
Are you going to allow fear to suppress and hold your faith captive? Christian, don't depart from the tomb in your life disheartened or depressed. Depart from the tomb joyful and victorious in your
Amen.
Christian life because you had just enough faith to roll the stone away.
Yes,
don't look beyond the tomb. You're trying to figure out how to solve the problem. That's God's job. That's not
yes,
yours.
Sir.
He doesn't ask you to solve the problem.
Yes,
he simply asks that you take that little bit of faith
yes.
and obey.
Yes.
Are you allowing doubt to subdue your hope? Do not allow the fear of faithless men to cause you to fumble in hopelessness. Christian, you need to focus on the Father, and He will cause you to fly above the fears and soar with wings as eagles.
Yeah.
Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint.
Amen.
What are you doing with your faith? As Pastor said last week, have you buried it in the ground? Or are you multiplying it? God has given you that little bit of faith. That's all you need. Just give it back to Him and watch what He can do. The second stone that we find that needs to be rolled away in the life of a Christian is the stone of disappointment. That word disappointment means to fail to fulfill the expectations or wishes of. Many times in the Christian life, you may feel that God has let you down. You may feel that He has disappointed you because it didn't work out the way that you wanted it to work out. But as He told His Heavenly Father in that prayer, I did it that they may believe. Sometimes God brings those apparent situations of disappointment into your life so that way you can become more encouraged and learn to depend on Him. Yes. Mary and Martha were disappointed. They had their personal expectations that were based on personal feelings rather than in the person of Christ, and they were disappointed. You and I in our life, when we view our lives through our own eyes, we will frequently find ourselves disgruntled, discouraged, and disappointed when things don't work out as they should. But when a Christian lives their life in the light of God's words, the distress and disappointments of life fade away, and they become dynamic moments of God's ability in their life, and it becomes proof of God's ability to work a miracle through that Christian.
Amen.
Roll the stone of disappointment away in your life. You see, my expectation is not on man. The book of Jeremiah, I believe, chapter number 17, says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. And talks about how his heart flees away. The very next couple verses later talks about, blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord. In John chapter 11, we find the Jews that were with Mary and Martha around the grave. They tried to comfort them. In John chapter 11 and verse number 31, the Jews which were with them in the house comforted them. But their expectation did not come from God. Did not come from man. It comes from God. And I'm thankful that Psalms 62 verse number 5 tells me that my soul, wait thou only on God. For my expectation is from Him. Are you waiting on man to solve your problems? Or are you truly waiting on God to solve your problems? Don't know how many times we went to the bank while we were in Kentucky. Wanted to get a house. It was the right time. That's what I thought. Everything seemed like it was okay. Time after time. No. And all of a sudden, there was an atomic bomb dropped on our life, and I realized, well, that's why we didn't get that house. And I was thankful that there came a point where I said, okay, how long are you going to kick against the pricks? It's time to understand that maybe the Lord shut this door right now in your life. My expectations in life, if they are on my ability, or if they are on another Christian's ability to solve my problems, I will be disappointed. But there has never been one person who has been disappointed for trusting in the Lord.
Yes, sir.
If I am trusting my abilities, I will frequently be disappointed.
Yes, sir.
But no one has ever been disappointed for trusting in God's abilities. Mary and Martha was told. They were told to roll the stone away. The disciples were told because of their unbelief, they could not perform this miracle. The third stone in our life that we must roll away is the same stone that kept the disciples from performing that miracle, the stone of disbelief.
Yes.
You and I ought to have that mustard seed of faith to roll away the stone of disbelief. Look at the children of Israel. If there was ever a group of people who should have trusted in God, in my opinion, it should have been them.
Yes.
I find myself often wondering why in the world did they act the way they did, but then I catch myself doing the same thing. The children of Israel saw the plagues of Egypt. They saw the drowning of Pharaoh's army. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. They ate the plentiful manna, and they were in the presence of God, yet they continued to doubt His ability to provide, and they doubted His capabilities to protect them. But look at your own life. Look at the country you have grown up in. Look at the church you have. Look at the Bible that you've been given. You've got everything that He gave to the children of Israel, yet so many times in our life, we find ourselves not parting those waters, not being able to perform the miracles because of disbelief in our life.
Yes.
We sit down and we walk away from the tomb disappointed. And we blame Jesus for not doing the miracle when all He said to us was roll the stone away.
Yes.
And we'd have watched Him do the miracle we wanted Him to perform.
Amen.
The disciples saw Jesus do the miracle after miracle after miracle, but so frequently they found Jesus telling them, because of your belief. How many times in your life have you seen God provide for your needs?
Yes.
I never will forget that moment. College students don't have any money.
That's
married people don't have any money.
That's right.
Pastors don't have any money. What do you have if you're all three of them? Nothing. You got less than nothing.
That's right.
I remember one particular time, I looked at the stack of bills and it was greater than the stack of coins. It wasn't even cash, it was pennies. And I went into my study in that little house that we were renting and I got on my hands and my knees and I said, Lord, I'm doing what you told me to do. And I said, the only way I'd do it is if you'd go with me. I'm working. We don't even eat McDonald's. We're not wasting a penny. I'm watching my wife struggle to be able to even buy groceries, but we're doing our best. We're trying to live by faith. And God, these bills right here, they're not mine anymore. They're yours. I can't take care of them. I didn't tell a single soul. I promise I didn't. Cross my heart, hope Brother Barnes dies. I did not tell a single person. Within the week, every one of those bills were paid plus a little extra cash to provide gas back to church the next week. I've watched God provide. But then there came a time in our life where we had a little bit more. And I prayed. I prayed that God would never let me forget what it was like. But I found myself looking for my own answers and God slapped me upside the back of the head and said, are you disbelieving what I can do now? I provided for you back then. Can I not provide for you now? How many times have you watched God provide in your life?
Yes, sir.
How many times has God come through for you in a difficult situation? How often, listen to this, how often have you thought that you wanted something? You didn't even pray for it, but God still provided it.
Yes, sir.
How many times has God done that for you? And here we find ourselves in a stressful situation. And as Christians, we begin to become weak in the faith and we begin to trust in our own ability to solve our problems. Christian, it's not time to trust in ourselves. It's time to roll the stone of disbelief. Go back to our prayer closets and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done.
Yes,
that's good.
God is not asking you to have faith to move mountains. God is not asking you to have faith to cast out the demons. God is not asking you to have faith to raise someone from the dead. God is simply asking for you to have the faith to roll the stone of your life away. Mary and Martha knew that God could. Mary and Martha knew that God wanted to. But they had to be willing to take away the stone in their life. The disciples knew that they had been given the power to perform the miracles that Jesus performed, but they found themselves not being able to because they took that mustard seed of faith and they misplaced it in their own abilities instead of placing it on the hands of God. How do you and I roll the stone of doubt away in our life? Go to Matthew 17, verse number 21, and we'll be done. You have been challenged to roll that stone away in your life, but how do you do it? Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 21, what does the Bible say? Howbeit, this kind of what? This kind of faith. Not this kind of miracle. This kind of faith.
Yes.
Not this kind of ability. This kind of faith. Howbeit, this kind of faith. What kind of faith? That mustard seed of faith. That faith that is willing to roll the stone of doubt and disbelief away. Howbeit, this kind of faith goeth not out but by what? Prayer and fasting. What is prayer? Prayer is me humbling, admitting to God that I do not have the ability to do what He wants me to do, and I need His help to accomplish the work He has called me to do. That is prayer. What is fasting? We all think of it as just going without food, but what is the purpose of fasting? Fasting denies your flesh of its desires, which allows you and forces you to rely on the Spirit's strength to gain the victory, to win the victory or the battle in your life.
Yes, sir. That's
good. You want that faith? You need to find yourself humbly kneeling before God, admitting your inability. What is faith? Number one, faith is doubting. Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. You can't have faith without doubt. The fact that you're doubting means you've got the option of faith available to you.
That's right.
What is faith? Faith is number one, doubting. Faith number two is believing.
Yes, sir.
Faith is Martha saying, yeah, I believe you'll raise him back to the grave later down the road. Then it's Jesus saying, do you believe I can do it? Well, I believe it. Let's roll this stone away and see if you really can. I'm not too sure about this. He stinks. Can you really do it? But they still rolled the stone away.
Yes.
What is faith? Faith is doubting. Faith is believing, but guess this. Faith is acting on the belief instead of acting on the doubt.
Yes.
In your life, to get that miracle that you need performed, in order to be a successful Christian, that to live the life of faith that God has called you to live, you must be willing to pray and you must be willing to deny your flesh those desires that will keep you from trusting in God.
Yes, sir.
Let me make this statement and we'll be done. If a microscopic virus can affect the world the way that it has, can you imagine what a room full of Christians with a mustard-sized seed of faith could do for our community?
It's good. Amen.
We're living in a world that's freaking out over something they can't even see. But I've got somebody that I can see.
That's right.
Man.
I've got the book. I've got the truth. What is one Christian going to do? As D.L. Moody said, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man that has fully humbled and yielded himself to God. Instead of freaking out over the events of this world, this is our opportunity as Christians to rise above the fear and to live by faith. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Mary and Martha were disheartened. They were a little disappointed, but they had just enough faith to roll that stone away in their life. What is it in your life that God has asked you to do, but you're doubting? God, I can't. That's the first step. Act on that faith. Don't act on the doubt. Step out by faith. Jesus said, because of their unbelief, we have a great work to do today, Christians. This altar is open. Many of you need to be here. You need to be on your knees, admitting to God that you can't do it, but asking Him to give you the strength to do it. But that decision is not final at this altar. That is only the beginning. You must walk out those back doors and live by faith.